church and in so many lives, and we can be part of it and just be part of the Great Commission, because that's what it's about. He's called us to go and make disciples of all nations. And so, you know, I just want to take this opportunity as well. We've had my in-laws here from the U.S., all the way from Evansville, Indiana. They've been here for 3 weeks. You know, these two wonderful people have played an integral part, you know, in this church plant. Many, many years ago, even before you guys were here, you know, we were in Florida, and they walked around at the World Conference, I remember, just with their t-shirts, building in Belfast. You know, they've been praying. They're from a wonderful church called Creekside Baptist Church. And so they are wonderful partners. You know, they call myself and Andrew their missionaries here in Northern Ireland. And they've prayed for us. They're supporting us financially. And so Ron and Emily, you know, I just want to honor you guys and thank you for your wonderful support. You know, and just to, you know, the way you've been praying for this church and, you know, just been a real great encouragement. You know, they've helped here at the back here, and Emily, in the first week, she was thrown into the kids ministry. So, but thank you so much for being with us, and please send us. Yeah, let's honor them. Yeah, please tell all our friends and family in Creekside Church, you know, for just thank them from us. Right, I just want to pray before we start. Father, we want to thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you that we can be here. And Lord, we just come with the expectation. Father, I thank you that you're not finished with us yet. Lord, that there's so many things that you want to do in our hearts. And Lord, today we open ourselves. Today we yield to you, Holy Spirit, and we invite you to come and teach us, come and just minister to us. I just pray you'll come and speak through me today. As we start this series, I thank you for what you started in us, you will complete. I thank you for the way that you're pursuing us. I thank you for how you long to just show us just a whole new dimension of your love in your heart. And I just pray that your presence will manifest here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm super excited that we're going to start a brand new series, and we've entitled this Relationship Status. Okay, so how many Facebook fans in the house? How many of you are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever? But usually on Facebook, when you are, you know, there's a little icon that says status, okay? And then people put in whatever, you know, I am in a relationship, I am married, I'm single. And then some might say it's complicated, okay? It's complicated. And that's the reality. How many of you find that relationships, it's complicated? It can be messy. You know, so I really, through this series, it's our heart, it's our desire, it's our prayer that we will really find God's blueprint for you. Doesn't matter what your status is. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, maybe you're finding it really complicated right now, you know, doing relationship. But I believe there's a better way. I believe what God wants to do is he wants to upgrade us, you know, in our relationship. Because relationship is really a skill. And that's something that he wants to develop. He wants us to become better at it. I mean, Jesus was the best communicator. He was the best person that did relationship, you know, on this earth. And the wonderful thing is that God, the Creator, created us for relationship. You know, there's relationship between the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And that's how he longs to be in the relationship with us. You know, and I know that there's a better way. And that's what we want to discover, friends. There's a blueprint. There's something that he has given us. You know, and that's why we really need to turn to the manufacturer's manual. What is the manufacturer's manual? It's simply the mind of the manufacturer that's put in a manual. You know, it's like with any product. Now, I like Apple product, and so when I buy Apple, there's some of the things that I cannot figure out. And so I need to go to the manual because I want to get the best out of the product. All right, so, and I, you can ask my wife, she's actually the Apple expert in our home. I get very frustrated when it comes to technology. I'll often say, Andrea, help, help. I need help with this device, or how do you do this? I mean, you know, she was, you know, converted to Apple many, many years ago, so she knows how to work that product. But that's the reality that every product comes with a manual. And so what we do is to get the best out of the product, we study the manual and we just apply whatever the manufacturer wrote down in this manual. And friends, that's the same. That's the same with God. You know, with us, Him being the creator, the person that has placed us on the earth, He has given us a manual. He's given us His blueprint. He's given us the Word. You know, and He's put some incredible instructions in here. And I believe if you want to get the best out of life, you want to get the best out of relationships, there's things that you've got to use in this manual. Things that you've got to apply. And I believe what God is doing right now is that He's aligning us. He wants to align us with His Word. It's not just Spirit, it's Word. It's both of them. And so there is some incredible wisdom here that He wants you to get hold of. He wants you not to be hearers of the Word, but to be doers. It's things that we need to apply to areas of our lives. And this is what this series is about. You know, and I know that you know, some of you have been challenged with relationship. How many of you have been challenged? Can honestly say you've been challenged. How many are you really challenged right now? You know, I believe there's people all around. I see your hand, Lenny. Just pray for Lenny. Just stretch out your hand to Lenny. Kelly, no, they're doing fine. So that is the reality. You know, there's people out there that really challenge us. And it's really, what we want to seek is how God wants us to respond. Because I believe in many relationships, there's two ways. We can either react or we can respond. Now, I've reacted. I mean, you can ask my wife, there's moments that, you know, we get flustered, you get frustrated, and we're all just human, okay? We are all under construction. You've heard me say that. We are a work in progress. And that's why we want to imitate God. You know, we want to imitate what He represented. He's our standard. Now, there's some standards out there. You know, I always say, you heard me say this before, but there's two ways of doing relationships. And that is the holy way or the Hollywood way, okay? Now, what happens is in Hollywood, a lot of people are looking up to these celebrities and they're not doing a great job. I mean, they're in and out of relationship and they just don't know what commitment is. That word, commitment, is non-existent at this time. You know, and so what we want to do is we want to really believe God to establish some relational values again in our lives. Because I believe that we've deviated. We've deviated from what God intended us to do and to live out. And so these standards have dropped. And I believe that also, as we know, we're living in a city that is relationally challenged. I believe what's happening in the city, there's relational dysfunction. There's disorder. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring order. He wants to bring order, and not just in the city, you know, in government. I mean, look at the government at the moment. You know, they just cannot communicate. You know, it's just, I mean, it's non-existent at the moment. And they're trying to figure things out. But it's not just happening in the government. It's happening in our homes. And where is the problem? Where is the problem? I believe it's at the root. It's in the heart of man. That's where it starts. And so today, I want us to really go on a journey to wholeness. Because I believe God wants to make us whole. He wants to restore. He wants to bring restoration. That's the heart of the Father. He doesn't want to leave you in the state that you are. And when you allow Him to come and access all areas and allow you to, you allow Him to come and bring restoration, He'll do it. It's going to take time. You know, I've counseled many people over the years, and a lot of people just, you know, they come in and they're like, you know, oh, I hope I'm going to be changed and everything, you know, and, you know, there's that kind of, you know, I don't want to say myth, but, you know, just come to Jesus and all your troubles are going to disappear.
It doesn't happen that way. What he does is he takes us on a journey to freedom. And I want us to go on a journey to wholeness. Because this is so important. Because I believe healthy leaders, healthy churches, healthy fathers, healthy homes. And that's what he wants to address. He wants you to, he wants your heart. Even as I was sitting there during the worship, as Lenny was leading worship, I just felt God say, he wants to show us a new dimension of his heart and his love. And he's, all he's doing is just, it is an invitation. He's saying, just come, come to me. And the world out there is saying, come, come to me. Come, come and read this book. Come and read this new dating thing that is so off-centered. And has really has given us a really contaminated version of what God wants us to pursue. And so we all need help, right? Say to your neighbor, you need help. You're right, you need help. All of us need help, okay? Just, that's the reality. And so, you know, I want to say to you, what is your status right now, okay? Where are you at? A lot of people just, you know, that's fine, leave it blank. But, you know, this is what we want. You know, we want, and we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, looking at, you know, because all of us, if you're single, obviously some of you want to be married. And so, you know, we want to hold one, isn't that right? You know, you don't want to marry a half a person. It's like in the beginning, in the garden, you know, when God said, you know, that man and woman, they will become one, right? So one in one, it's a whole one. You know, half of one. God is the God of multiplication. So when he puts people together, it's a one whole one, and a whole and another whole one equals a whole one. Not a half and a half doesn't equal a whole one. And so we want to become whole. Before we step into a relationship, into a marriage, we want to make sure that we are whole. And, you know, I've sadly, you know, some of my friends have gone through divorce. Some of them are going through divorce right now. And I've you know, I've looked up to some of these friends of mine in their marriage. And I'm like, how is that possible? How is that possible? You know, we've actually had conversations with them to encourage, and they've gone to counseling. But a lot of them has said, you know, we're going to get divorced. This is beyond repair. And it's sad. And so we've discovered, you know, through our conversation, what has gone wrong? You know, and so you realize when they've stepped into marriage, they fail to deal with things of the past. Because I believe the way you leave is the way you cleave. That's what the scripture says. A man shall leave his father and then be joined to his wife. But as they go into this relationship, they just don't leave things, you know, behind. They bring in some baggage into relationships. And so that is what God wants to do, is that he wants us to prevent this of happening in our lives. Okay? Because if we don't do it the way that he's intended it, this is how it ends up. It usually ends up in tears, and the one is blaming the other. It's you the one. Look at you. Why didn't you do this and that? And, you know, there's a lot of selfishness in relationship and, you know, dealing. And so it is at the core of it is, it is a heart issue. So, as I said before, Genesis 2:18, then God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. And so from here, you know, we just see, you know, a lot of people read the scripture and say, oh, it's not meant for man to be alone. You know, that means it talks about marriage. It doesn't just talk about marriage. What it talks about here is about relationship. So we must be careful. Not sometimes we read things out of context. But yes, you know, God wants to give you a helper. And that help might look in the form of a counselor or a friend or somebody that is just there to encourage you, that looks out for you, that helps you. And, you know, a friend that you can be accountable to. But in this case, you know, Adam was in the garden and God said, you know what, it's not because, you know, the reason God created Adam and Eve is not because he was depressed, okay? He was lonely and he was like sad and I want... No, he just loves relationship. And so he created man and he created a woman. And so things went wrong, okay?
There was a crime. There was things that happened in the garden. There was a separation.
And so God gave him some instructions. And so they went the opposite way and there was a consequence.
And I believe because of what happened there, there's a consequence in the world today. But the amazing things, friend, about God's blueprint, the story is a story of restoration. Restoration, where a Savior said, you know what, I'm not going to leave you in the state that you are. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. I'll pursue you. And I love the way that there's hope. As you read through scriptures, all about restoration. Restoration. David being broken and God, you know, having this encounter with God. Many of these men and women learn. We can learn from these stories and these lessons that we find in Scripture. You know, Adam was the last man who ever saw a perfect woman. It's true. And Adam and vice versa, Eve was, you know, was the last woman who saw a perfect man. You know, my wife comes pretty close, but, you know, she would admit, yeah, amen. She'll come, you know, but she would admit, you know, she's not perfect. And we've discovered both ways. There's so much we have to work on. I mean, we've been married for 7 years now. I mean, it's not a lifetime, but, you know, we've learned a lot. We've had a lot of ups, we had a lot of downs. We've had some of our challenges. And so during those times of challenges, it brings, you know, it brings things out of us. You know, that's what storms does and challenges in life. It's really, what are we building our relationship on? What are the values? What is the foundation that we're building on? And I want to say to you, what are you building your relationship on? What are you building your marriage on? You know, whether you are single, in a relationship, or married, it should always be your desire and priority to pursue personal wholeness. That's what we want to look at this morning. Definition of wholeness. Wholeness is the quality of being complete or a single unit and not broken or divided into parts. The state of being unbroken and undamaged. Okay, so, friends, things happen. Things happen from a very young age. Some of you have grown, been raised in homes and you've seen a lot of brokenness around you. It wasn't a perfect home. You've seen mommy and daddy getting in arguments. Daddy hitting mommy and vice versa. And there's damage done. From a very young age, you've observed with your eyes. You've heard. And so for some of, you know, people, that was the definition of relation. That's just normal. That is acceptable. And so some of us, we've had relationships. You know, you've been in and out of relationships. And you're just looking for love. And that's what, you know, we found. This is what Mother Teresa, she said, if I can find this quote now. But basically, she mentioned about that we were designed by God to be loved and to love. That's why God created us. And so we have not received that love from our own parents, that affection from our own parents. Daddy, you know, he just wanted to hit. He, you know, is always just angry. And so for you, that's part of your upbringing. And so now, we find it hard to love in a relationship because we have not received. We cannot give something if we don't have received love. You can't give love if you don't have not received love. And so what God wants to show you is that He's a perfect Father. Amen? He's a perfect Father. He's a good, good Father. And I've always said this, you know, our understanding of who God is will either determine if we run to Him or from Him. And a lot of us might hear, some of us might have run from your fathers. And boy, have I run. My dad is an amazing man, by the way. But, you know, I've had a couple of moments that I had to run. Okay? But it was primarily, you know, issue with me. But that's what he wants to do. He wants us to run. And that's where the place we find, where we come is in him we find wholeness. In him. And so, because we have not received love always, you know, that's why we always want to look for love in all the wrong places. That's wrong. That's the problem of Hollywood. That's the problem of the society. What's happening right now is they have not received love, you know, from where it should have come, from at home. Those values. And so now they're looking for love in all their wrong places. But praise God. Revelation 21 verse 5 says, "Behold, I am making all things new." I'm making all things new. And that is what he wants to do in your life. He wants to renew you. He wants to give you a new heart where your heart has been hardened. You know, you've been hurt. You've gone through some abuse and, you know, things said. It's almost like the stuff that's stuck on you through words that people have spoken over you. And what God wants to do is he just wants to come and remove them this morning. He wants to come and remove you. He wants to give you a heart. He wants to change your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Soften your heart. Because, you know, when your heart is hardened, you put up defenses. And that's what he wants to remove, is that defenses. So he can come and almost massage your heart and soften it and fill that heart with love this morning. So it's a journey that we, and he's calling us to commit to wholeness. And this is what Paul wrote. I'm going to go to that one. This is what Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. And he addressed this issue, a very important issue, because there was a concern. Paul had a concern. You know, and it's also encouragement, a letter of encouragement, a prayer for them. And he said this, verse 5 to 23 to 24 says, May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Okay? That's the promise. That's a powerful promise there. That God, you know what? We have a soul, we have a body, and we have a spirit. That's how God made us. We have a body. That's our meat box. Then we have a soul. The soul consists of the mind, the will, the emotions. And then we have a spirit. And so all of that, it works together. And so when we go through some things in our lives, those are the areas that is affected. And this is the promise. May God himself, this is Paul praying, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together. Friends, you might feel, you're sitting here this morning, you feel, I don't have it all together. I feel broken. But he's going to put you together. He's going to do this by his Spirit. As you allow him to come and work in you. So it's a journey to wholeness. So he wants to take that heart and heart, you know, almost that bandage, you know, that's been put on there. You know, we're so, like I've shared it several, couple of months ago, you know, we're so good at covering things up. You know, just, you know, there's the heart, but you just cover it, you put a band-aid over it, and you're just like, you know what, I'm just going to keep going. But I feel what God wants to do is he wants us to do a heart evaluation, assessment, so we can just look at, allow him to look into your heart. That's what he's already doing. He's just saying, you know, just respond to me. Invite him into that area. So when we allow him just to access all areas, our emotion, our heart, that especially the soul area, the mind, the will, and emotions, you know, help and bring order and bring restoration. That's the promise. That's the result. Okay, we're not going to be perfect, but one day when we're with him, there's going to be no more tears, no more sadness, no more mourning, and we're going to be with our Maker. We're going to be complete. Isn't that wonderful? So we're just passing through. But in this passing through, he is actively pursuing you
and just working in your life. And right, so just a couple of truths that leads to wholeness. Friends, this is so important that you would know this. You need to know this. Know that you are loved. Ephesians 3:19. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So, God at work in your life, but it's important that you know that you are loved, that you deeply, deeply loved. And as I said, we might have not received these words of affirmation and, you know, over our lives where your daddy has said to you, you know what, I love you so much. You are, you know, and I really practice this. I speak this over my kids during the day and let them know you are loved. And so if it comes from that place that you know that you're loved, you're not going to look at places. You're not going to go around and say, you know, looking for love. And that is where God is saying to us and saying to you this morning, allow me to be the lover of your soul. Allow me to be the lover of your soul. Because that's who He is. God is love. And so when we step into this relationship, it's a relationship and where there's intimacy, there's interaction. And when I hear the Father speak, often He said to me, son, nothing can separate you from my love. Whatever you're going through right now, nothing can separate you from my love. My love for you is unconditional. It's not conditional. You don't have to do all these things to that I will love you more. The more you pray, no, that's not the way God works. It's unconditional. And so, friend, when you live a life, you live from a place knowing that I'm loved, it changes everything. Even in a relationship, there's not this needy. I need. You know, we're going to need that. You're going to need hugs in your relationship. But that's, you know, God doesn't want us to live this neediness, this kind of, you know, we want to be life-giving people, amen? We want to give. As we receive, we want to give. So it comes to a place where you just got to allow Him to fill you with His love. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, you know. I mean, you know, I'm a hugger, okay? As you notice, I love giving hugs. And some people might not be that type of hugging people. It's fine. But a hug in a now and again is good. Hey, Sandy? Amen? It's nice to get a good hug and just a way of expression, you know, affection and... Right. Truth that, another truth, know that you're valuable. Friends, it's so important knowing that you're valuable. And I know there's people that have not, might have said this, you're valuable. I often when I minister to people, I would say, you are valuable, you are needed, you are wanted. Because they don't feel wanted, they don't feel valuable. And so, if you don't know, if you don't really know this truth, you will live out of a place. You actually lower lower your feeling that you are valuable. You would go around. You'll lessen yourself. You drop your value. That's the word. Okay? And I've said this, you know, even in relationships, you know, that, you know, you it's like, you know, you go to Tesco, you put some products on the reduced item counter, you know, there's a section there. I love going there, by the way. You know, you find some good deals. Come on. Right? But that's what we do. You know, we just drop our price, our value. We kind of put ourselves on this, you know, reduced item rack, you know, because, friends, don't settle for second best. I want to say to some of the singles here, don't settle for second best. Don't drop your value. You're valuable. You're valuable in the eyes of God. He's paid a big price for you. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body. Friends, you are not cheap. You're not cheap. I want to say to you this morning, you are valuable. You want it. You're deeply, deeply loved by God. Another area is know your identity. You know, I can go into long detail, but I really just want to give us, because we're going to talk about this stuff over the next couple of weeks. But know your identity. Know that you're a man. Know that you're a woman. That's what God wants you to know. How He's put you together. You're unique. There's nobody. Nobody has got the same print, fingerprint, than you. Just think about it. Of all the billions of people, you're the only one that's got that unique print. And God doesn't want you to be fake. You know, He wants you to know your identity in Him. Know that you're a son. Know that you're a daughter. That's where there's a lot of hurt out there today. Because people don't know who they are. Who am I? I'm trying to discover on this journey, who am I? And then they have the world telling them, this is who you are. And so again, we need to come back to the manufacturer's manual. Come back to the what is the manufacturer saying about me? Read it. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow. These are the things that He wants to declare and speak over you. And so we need to remind ourselves, who am I? Who am I? And there's times that I have not felt like a son. I wake up and I'm like, oh, you know, I've got to do this stuff. And Lord, oh, God said, why are you looking for my acceptance? You're accepted already. This is who you are. Remember, you're a son, you're not a slave. And so that's part of the renewal. As we become, you know, a new creation, we got to work on the old nature. We got to work on the old way, the stinking thinking, okay? It's just things that we got to renew. That's what God says. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Because as we become, you know, a new creation, there's a lot of renewal that needs to take place in our soul. We become born again, but it's an ongoing process. And so when we come into the presence of a loving, caring God, that's where the alignment comes. And He tells you, this is who you are. And then you come to a place, you know, I'm about my Father's business. You know, you walk with this security, with this confidence. And so that takes time. But that's what He wants to do. He wants to renew you. He wants to build you up again. Because I know there's been a lot of breaking down in this world. You know, I just see it. You know, I'm not, you know, just on the streets. It's not being judgmental or anything, but you just look at some of the people. You know, some of the scars. I mean, there's some battle scars, right? Not just in their hearts, but physically. I mean, there's been conflict. There's been anger. There's been stuff happening. And I know that we're in a city full of orphans that's looking for father. It's looking for father figures. And God doesn't want you to stay an orphan. He wants to bring you into a place where there's adoption. It's warm. It's not like the prodigal son that just stayed out. He went back into the house. He was cared for. He was loved. He was accepted. There was a ring on his finger that said, you are mine. There's a covenant, friends, that cannot be broken. That's who he is. They put a rope around him. He took the old rope off and said, here's a new rope of righteousness. You're washed and cleansed with the blood of what the greatest rescue on earth has done, Jesus. He stepped into the form of a man and became sin and died a death that we should have died and was resurrected. And through that, He's made a way for us that we can have access to Him, live in a living relationship with Him. Don't have to prove I'm a son. Look, Dad, look what I'm doing. I'm doing this stuff, you know. And who are you looking your approval? I'm not looking for my approval in man, but in God. And that is living from a place of identity that's built around sonship. Knowing that you're a son and that you belong. Are you guys with me this morning?
Yeah.
I'm just going to end off with this. Marriage or a relationship is all about two imperfect people finding each other and somehow drawing from a perfect love from God to help them love each other unconditionally. What are you drawing from, friends, this morning? What are you drawing from in your life? Do you know whose you are? I want to leave you with that. And I'm going to just pray. Just stand with me this morning, many of you can. Thank you, Father. Ephesians 3:19 says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Father, we need help. We need help. And Lord, I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit is here this morning. Maybe where you're standing this morning, just say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you come and fill people here this morning with the love of the Father. May they experience your agape love, your unconditional love. May you flood their hearts. Will you come and remove insecurities? Will you come and heal our broken hearts? Will you come and heal us in our soul, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions? We thank you for the way you've been pursuing us. And I thank you that today, that you're reminding us that nothing can separate us from your love. And I thank you for that promise. And I thank you for that covenant that you've made with us. That you are a covenant-keeping Father. We thank you for that. And we thank you for this journey to wholeness. And I pray over this coming weeks that you will come and teach us. Come and teach us your blueprint. Come and show us your way. Because we are here. We want to consult you. Father, we want to ask you that you'll help us not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But I ask you today that you come and transform us. Come and renew our thinking. Come and wash our thoughts in Jesus' name. And I thank you that we can boldly come to your throne room of grace this morning. Knowing that we are loved, that we are wanted, we are accepted. Lord, we don't care what the world thinks and say. But we can come today to your throne. Because we are sons and we no longer slaves. And I thank you. I thank you for what you've started in us. In Jesus' name, we praise you today, Father God. Lord, I just pray that you come and remove any excess baggage, things that we carry from the past. I thank you that you make all things new. I thank you for giving us a new heart. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for what you've done on the cross for us. What you've done in the Calvary. Because of what you've done on the cross, we can have victory in our lives. We can apply the finished work of the cross into areas of our lives. And we thank you that all things are possible. We thank you for giving us victory. We thank you that we are loved. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Father, we thank you that you've called us to be a blessing in this city, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you also help us not become so self-centered, Lord, that we miss out to be a blessing to other people out there. So, Father, freedom that we receive, freedom we can give to others. It's such a privilege to give, Lord. We just love giving. Help us to represent you well, to love well this week. We ask you in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Friends, we also just want to keep...
and what we're going through, and asking for a presence in Belfast, but I just really have it on my heart to just pray for the rest of the world, that throughout history, the humanity is so hurting, and there's so much trouble in the world, and we're asking for a presence here, but I really want to ask for a presence for people that are displaced by all of these wars. There's thousands of millions of people across the world today, on this Remembrance Day, that are so hurt, so many children have seen so many horrific things because of war, so many things have been so destructive, there's been cities that have been torn apart, even in our own city with the civil war that's happened here, and it's just really, I don't know, today just really came to me, just to remember that, so I pray that's all. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you are here and that we can come to you. We ask for your presence among us and in our lives, Lord, but we're just truly reflecting and thinking about the people throughout history that have fought for us and that have basically went to their deaths to try and protect their families and protect their own countries, Lord. And I just pray for the people that have been affected, the innocent lives that have been affected by war in all of those countries too, and for people that are still displaced, the people that are still hurting, the people that are their lives have been destroyed, Lord. They don't get an education, they don't have health care, they're dying of disease because of the powers that are being, Lord, and I just pray that you will work within the governments of our world, and those people, and that your presence will be within our governments, and then storm out that you will heal all of the things that are going on across the Middle East, Lord, and Syria and everything. And just really pray that you'll heal all of those hearts and that you'll really work in those camps and those communities that are so destroyed. There's just so little hope that are among them. To find you, and that you will bring presence into people's lives that will be willing to go and work through, Lord, and that will be willing to bring their life to you.
Father, heal our land. Heal our land, Father. Thank you, Father. Your word says, my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I will hear, and I will forgive, and I will heal their land. We pray for healing in our land, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's give God a praise.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.